This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton, Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come in your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in Titus chapter 3, beginning with verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lust and pleasure, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Let us pray. Our Father, we do praise Thee and thank Thee that Thy Word does teach that Thou art a God who justifies sinners, counts them as if they had never sinned because of the redemptive work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How we praise Thee for Thy work of justification. And that Thy Word does tell us that those whom You foreknew, You predestinated to be conformed to the image of Thy Son. And those whom Thou didst predestinate, You called. And them You called, You also justified. And them You justified, You also glorified. And how we praise Thee and thank Thee for such a great salvation. We do ask as the Word goes out today, it'll go forth in power and much assurance, and that the Holy Spirit will do His work, and that sinners will come to know and to understand the work of justification wrought by our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord, hear us, and lead us, and bless us, and have mercy upon us, for it is in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
Mighty fullness then, His witness through believers won the lost, and multitudes were born again. The early Christians scattered o'er the world, they preached the gospel fearlessly. Though some were martyred and to lions hurled, they marched along in victory.
I say amen to that, that God would revive His work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known in wrath, remember mercy. As the prophet Habakkuk cried, and that's our cry today, that God will come down again by His Spirit and work effectually and mightily in our hearts and lives. I'm always conscious of the fact that all is in vain unless the Spirit of God moves. I can't awaken souls, and I can't save souls, and I can't keep them saved. Only my living God can do this by His Holy Spirit, because salvation is of the Lord. Oh, may He do His work in our midst is our cry. Dear friends, we say thanks for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Our Lord's on the throne. He's been very precious and real to my own soul in these last weeks as He's dealt with our hearts. Especially yesterday afternoon, He just loved my soul. And oh, I just praise Him when He meets me at the trysting place and shows me His face by faith and lets me see and know Him, my Lord and my Savior and my Redeemer. And this month we are offering a book I've been wanting to give away a long time. One of the greatest ever written. It's called The Suffering Savior by Krumacher. It's Meditations on the Last Days of Christ. My friend, you'll want a copy of this book. 53 chapters. Divided into three divisions, the outer court, the holy place, and the most holy place, typified, of course, by the tabernacle in the wilderness. And he goes in and shows our Lord's sufferings for His people, for poor sinners. This book is yours free and postpaid if you will write us. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We've cried to the Lord for this next series of messages that He would have us deliver. He certainly blessed my own soul in the series that He gave us on the 20th chapter of Revelation. And if you did not write yet for those messages, you'll want to write for them. And I feel led to give a companion series to the one that we gave a few months ago on the work of the law in our salvation, by delivering at this time a series of messages on the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation, showing you the necessity of the work of the Spirit in the salvation of any sinner. We want you to listen to this series. We want you to write for your copy of these messages. They'll be in print, and we will want to. You'll want to get your copy, and we want you to have them free and postpaid. Now, will you give us your undivided attention and ask God to take His Word home to our hearts today as our prayer? Dear friend, we find that much is spoken of today about the Holy Spirit. Much is written about the Holy Spirit. And we hear of those, many in fact, who are seeking the Holy Spirit. But we see little of the work of the Holy Spirit in our midst, that is the true work, the primary work for which He was sent into the world. And that is what we're told in John chapter 16, to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on Christ. Of righteousness because Christ went to the Father as the sinner's perfect righteousness, and of judgment because the prince of this world, Satan, and all of those who are controlled by him is judged. We hear and read much today of those who are seeking the Holy Spirit when they should be seeking Christ, whom the Holy Spirit came to reveal, for they have never bowed to Christ's authority. There are those who are seeking for the power of the Holy Spirit in manifestation when they know nothing of His powerful work in their souls to break the power of sin. There are those who are seeking the gifts of the Spirit, who have never been partakers of the greatest gift He can bestow, and that is a broken heart and a contrite spirit before a holy God. There are those who are seeking the Holy Spirit, though, so they can see and do the miracles, but they have never had the miracle of the new birth worked in their hearts by the Holy Spirit. Therefore, the purpose of these messages is that we may see the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, in His work in our salvation. You see, dear friend, the salvation that God gives in Christ is a spiritual thing. Listen to me now. I want you to get this. Are you listening? I said that the salvation that God gives in Christ is a spiritual thing. It is called in Scripture the new birth, the creation of a new man, the implanting of a new nature, the giving of a new heart, the passing from death unto life, the bringing in of a new covenant. Again, it is called the casting down of the strongholds of Satan, the setting of the prisoner free, the bringing in of a new hope, the delivering of the captive, the giving of sight to the blind, the translating from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light, and the walking on the road of holiness toward a holy heaven. You take your Bible and search it out like I have. You'll notice that all of these are descriptions of the salvation that God gives us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, it is a spiritual thing. All right, I ask a question then. If all of this is accomplished in salvation, and it is, plus much more, and if salvation is a spiritual thing discerned and understood only by a spiritual man, then how is all of this going to be done, seeing we read in Scripture that the man to whom salvation in Christ is given is dead in trespasses and sins? I ask another question. How is such a marvelous work as set forth in 1 Corinthians 2:9 going to be performed? For we read, "I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him, if a man is dead in trespasses and sins." Again, how is a man going to believe when he does not know what and whom to believe, seeing he has no spiritual eyes with which to see his own sinfulness and the beauty of the Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ? How is a man going to repent when he has no knowledge of what to repent of? How is a man going to flee from the wrath to come when he has no knowledge of his danger as a criminal before a just and a holy God? How is a man going to seek Christ when he has no idea of how to seek Him or of any need that Christ may fulfill for him? How is a man going to be constrained to seek light when he has no knowledge and is in spiritual darkness? How is a man going to love God when he does not know that he hates Him? How is a man going to cry after liberty if he does not know he is in bondage? How can a man exercise a free will in choosing Christ when his will is enslaved by Satan? How is a man going to seek heaven when he is satisfied to go to hell? How is a man going to walk in the paths of righteousness and true holiness when he is satisfied with the paths of self-will, self-pleasing, self-confidence, and self-righteousness? I ask again, how is a man going to pick himself up by his bootstraps and bring himself to God, seeing he lies dead in sin? And I think all of these are legitimate questions that should be asked. I asked them one day. I certainly did, because I was told that the salvation that God gives in Christ is a spiritual thing. And how was I going to perform it? How was it going to be performed? Would a little decision of mine, a little resolve of mine to do better, was this going to accomplish it? No, no. Therefore, these messages on the necessity of the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation. Then I am certain, if I heard someone say, Pastor, all of these questions that you ask are not necessary, for all a man has to do is believe and the work of salvation is done. But I will respond with another question. What are you going to do with John 5:40, where our blessed Lord said, Ye will not come to me that you might have life? You see, it is a matter of the will. And here our Lord said, Ye will not. I ask, who is going to make the will of man willing? What are you going to do with John 6:44, which says, No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man can come to me. He will not, and he cannot come except by the power of God's Spirit. I ask another question. What are you going to do with 2 Timothy 2:26, which says that the sinner is taken captive by Satan at his will? We see there that ye will not, ye cannot. And then we find that Satan holds us captive in his will. My friend, what are you going to do with John 8:44, where it is written, Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do? In other words, we will not come to Christ, and we cannot come to Christ, but we will do, according to our lustful nature, the things that Satan tells us to do. If you put all these scriptures together, you will find it is will not and cannot, and that we are under the power of Satan's will, and then the positive statement that the sinner will do the lust of his father, the devil. I'd like to reason with you, my friend. Will you listen? Will not means that the sinner's will is depraved, and therefore he cannot come to Christ, unless a work of divine grace is wrought in his soul by the power of the Holy Spirit. You take that expression, cannot, that our Lord used in John 6:44, means that the sinner is helpless within himself to come unless the Holy Spirit draws him unto Christ. And then the expression, under the will of Satan, means that one stronger than himself, and Satan must set him free. And then the expression, the lust of his father, the devil, he will do until he dies and goes to hell, means that unless someone, and that someone, the Holy Spirit, comes and sets him free, is in a terrible fix. And that's where you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's where I was one day. Though the Holy Spirit set His love upon me and began to work in my heart. And then I read another scripture. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spot? And I say, if this can be done, then and only then may you and I do good that are accustomed to doing evil. And since an Ethiopian cannot change his skin nor a leopard his spot, neither can you and I, who are accustomed to doing evil, do good without the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts to do what God desires us to do by His almighty power. You see, James 3 tells us, can the fig tree bear olive berries? No, because it is against their nature. And so it is in the spiritual. It is against our nature to admit that we are sinners before God and are seeking for His salvation in Christ. It is against our nature to love righteousness and holiness and to practice that which God loves, for we love sin. And we hate that which God loves, and that's holiness. So you see, a change has got to be made, and so the work of the Holy Spirit. You see what I'm trying to prove, dear friend, in all of these scriptures, and with all of these questions and answers, is this, that the work of the Holy Spirit is absolutely necessary in our salvation if we're ever to be saved. You see, we read in John 6:63 that it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. Did you hear that? It said that the flesh profiteth nothing. The flesh has no part in the work of God. And this is exactly what our Lord told Nicodemus in John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that's all it ever can be. Therefore, to be born again, it must be by the instrument of the Word of God in the hands of the Holy Spirit, for you see, all fleshly activities amount to absolutely nothing where the regeneration of dead sinners is concerned. My dear friend, neither the logical arguments advanced by the mind, nor hypnotic powers brought to bear upon the will, nor touching appeals made to the emotions, nor beautiful music and hearty singing to catch the ear, nor sensuous trappings to draw the eye, or of the slightest avail in stirring dead sinners. It is not the choir, nor the soloist, nor the preacher, but the Spirit that quickens and saves dead sinners. Now, I know very well that this is very distasteful to the natural man because it is humbling to the flesh, but, my friend, this is the Word of God, and that's what I came to preach to you today. That the Holy Spirit came into the world, sent by God the Father and God the Son for the express purpose to convince and to convict and to reprove of sin, of righteousness and of judgment, to take the things of Christ and reveal them unto us. And my friend, no one else can do this, for this is the Spirit's work. And I praise God that He does it. As I said, this is humbling because the Holy Spirit sets aside all of our natural ability and works upon the heart of man to convince of sin and to show him his need of a Savior. Are you listening to me? He uses means, but He does the work. In Ephesians 2:1, it is called the quickening work of the Holy Spirit. He has to make the sinner alive because he is dead in trespasses and sins. This scripture does not say that the sinner is sick, that he is faint, that he has grown callous and hardened and seared, but it does say that he is absolutely spiritually dead. It does not say that he needs to rededicate himself or to turn over a new leaf and to rededicate himself. He is dead. Whatever that term death means in connection with the body, dear friend, it means the same thing in connection with man's soul, viewing it in its relationship to spiritual things. When the body is dead, it is powerless. It is unable to do anything of itself. Listen now. And when the soul of man is dead in a spiritual sense,
It must be. If there is any meaning in the figure, utterly and completely and entirely powerless and unable to do anything of itself or for itself, for it is dead. I will go further. When we see dead men opening their coffins, coming out of their graves, walking our streets alive and well again, then and only then will I believe that souls who are dead in sin may turn to God when they please, repent when they please, lay hold of Christ with true saving faith when they please, change their own nature, make themselves heirs of heaven apart from the divine power of the Holy Spirit. He alone makes us willing in the day of His power, according to Psalms 110:3. And that, my friend, is the work of the Holy Spirit. Yes, the work of salvation in the human soul and in the human life is a divine work. For salvation is of the Lord from the beginning to the end. This is what God's Word teaches. For we read that we were the elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, according to 1 Peter 1:2. And that this same truth is brought out in 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14 in these words: But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit in belief of the truth, whereunto He called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in both of these blessed scriptures, it is brought out that all is from God the Father, all is through God the Son, and all is applied by God the Holy Spirit. We can say with the Apostle Paul in 2 Timothy 1:8-9 that according to the power of God we have been saved and called with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Yes, to have a part in this glorious salvation made for poor dead sinners, we must be quickened by the Holy Spirit and made alive in Christ for us to be partakers of His divine nature. He must plant the incorruptible seed of life in us and bring it forth to everlasting life in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. My friend, I firmly believe that this is what needs to be preached in this day. Not enough emphasis is given this today upon the person and work of the Holy Spirit in the salvation of a sinner who is dead in trespasses and in sin. I trust you will follow us in the next messages when we will try to show you from the Word of God the work of the Holy Spirit in our salvation and the necessity of His work in our day. Will you pray? God will send His Word home to our hearts. Oh, we need His work. It's never before. Sinners may be quickened and made alive and convinced and convicted of sin. That would go up the cry of guilty before God. That would be that bringing forth of true repentance toward God and true faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with us, will you? And God's Spirit will work at this time in each and every one of our hearts. Write us for a copy of these messages, and also for the copy of the book which we're giving away this month, entitled The Suffering Savior by Krumacher, Meditations on the Last Days of Our Lord Jesus Christ. You'll want that book. It'll bless your soul. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2603 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. We're happy that you've been with us. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.